Good to be here this morning. I'm really glad to see everybody we have out with us, and we praise God for your presence here today. You know, today is Easter Sunday, and I'm sure there's probably more people that have been going to church today than there are other times, at least I hope so, though. But we know we celebrate a risen Savior, our risen Savior here every Sunday, and we should. And that's what it's all about, is that the risen Savior, Jesus Christ. And you know, life is full of changes, and with today and this time of the year, as was mentioned this morning, that it's very obvious all the changes that life is go through. Because you see the trees that look so dead are putting out buds and blooming and putting on flowers and becoming beautiful and seemingly coming to life again. And I think about that, and I think, well, you know, God chose the right time for Jesus to be resurrected in this time of the year to show people that, you know, there is new life. There's new life in Jesus Christ. He is our risen Savior and gives us that opportunity. I want to share a story with you this morning that I read and I thought quite interesting and really, really good. It says there was an Indian chief who had four sons. He wanted his sons to learn not to judge things too quickly. So he sent each on a quest in turn to go and look at a pear tree that was a great distance away. The first son went in the winter, the second in the spring, the third in the summer, and the youngest son in the fall. And when they had all gone and come back, he called them together to describe what they had seen. The first son said that the tree was ugly, bent, and twisted. And we can understand that, for he went in the winter. The second son said, no, it's covered with green buds and full of promise. See, he went in spring. The third son disagreed. He said it was laden with blossoms that smelled so sweet and looked so beautiful. It was the most graceful thing he'd ever seen. And the last son disagreed with all of them. He said it was ripe and dropping with fruit, full of life and fulfillment. Then the man explained to his sons that they were all right, because they had each seen but only one season in a tree's life. And then he told them, you cannot judge a tree or a person by only one season. And the essence of who they are and the pleasure and joy and love that comes from that life can only be measured at the end when all the seasons are up. So, I'd like to say to people who wind up in trouble in the winter time, sometimes it's young and sometimes it's old, but they're in the winter time of life, of their lives, it seems like, you know. And if you give up when in the winter, you will miss the promise of your spring, the beauty of your summer, and the fulfillment of your fall. Too many times people give up on themselves far too early in life, or far too early in themselves, that don't make it through to the end. This is why God said that we were not to judge our brother, or ourselves for that matter, because we are our own brother. Sometimes people want to judge themselves unworthy of eternal salvation, and Paul spoke with some like that. They judge themselves unworthy of going to church and unworthy of being a Christian. They judge themselves unworthy to go to heaven. And that's a sad thing for us to do. You see, because the seasons of your life can change. You may be in one of these seasons, but it does not mean you will stay in that season till you die or in that situation. We all go through tough times. And sometimes we have good times and enjoy times and carefree times, but that too will change. And so God tells us not to judge our brother. In Romans 14:4, he says, who art thou to judge another man's servant? To his own master he standeth and falleth. Yea, he shall be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. So, you see, we're not judging that man, and we're not supposed to judge him. In James 4:11, he speaks not evil one of another brother, and he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother, speaketh evil of the law, and judges the law. But if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. There is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judges another? You know, with God's help, people do and can change. In fact, we're all going to change some way or another. What was once a bitter man or a bitter person, a mean and wicked person, can be changed and become very different from that person with the working of God. The thief can stop stealing. The liar can stop his lying. The fornicator, he can change and not be a fornicator anymore. But often we tend to judge people the way we meet them the first time we meet them, where we assume they're going to be that way all their life, but they're not. People change. They change in both directions. Sometimes people change for the better, sometimes they change for the worse, and sometimes we just go back and forth because we change. The young people sometimes make many bad decisions early in life, not knowing any better what they were doing and what was happening to them. They made bad decisions, and they do mess up their life, it seems. But don't give up. Don't decide that there's no better for you. Do not decide you're so bad you cannot escape it. The truth is, we're all bad. Every one of us is sinners. And we've all done things that were wrong, and one bad is bad, and sin is sin. You know, we're all guilty of sin. And Romans 3:23 says, all of sin and come show the glory of God. So none of us are perfect. None of us can say, I'm not a sinner, have not sinned, have not committed sin. We don't need to give up on ourselves, nor on others. Because we can change. And when you go and visit the people, and you're talking to somebody, or you're trying to get to know people, and you want to try to convert them to Christ, well, don't judge them as the way they are. You're looking at on that soul, and you realize that soul is of great value, and that soul can change. That person can change. So don't let the pain of one season destroy the joy and the love of all the rest. Don't judge one life or a life by one difficult season. Persevere through the difficult times, through the difficult patches and the hard things, and better times are sure to come. Better promises are made by God. We want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. In Ephesians chapter 4, I've known people who changed. I've known people that every time I went in their house and saw them, they would curse at me or something, or curse about somebody. And they changed. And I've known people that I thought was going to be faithful in the church and come to church, and they changed too. They left the church. Yet people change. In Ephesians chapter 4, he talks about our change. In Ephesians chapter 4, we want to begin reading. Here we're verse 23. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And that you put on the new man, which is to God, is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are all members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to them that need it. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of the edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You see, we do change and can change. So if we just live simply, love generously and care deeply, speak kindly and leave the rest to God. You know, happiness kind of keeps us sweet. Trials, they keep us strong. And sorrows, they keep us human. And failures keep us humble. Success can make you glowing, but God is what keeps you going. And we are to be more and more like our Savior. We are to hate the sin, both in others and in ourselves. We hate sin. That's the purpose. That's the call of God, that we're to be like Him, and we are to hate sin, but love the soul. Love what's within. God loves sinners. He loves you and I. He loves us while we're yet in sin. So, but He hates the sin. That's why He sent Christ to die for us. And Lord, the Lord hates it very much. Psalm 45 and 6. It says, Thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of Thy kingdom is a right scepter. The scepter would be the rule. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore, God, Thy God, hath anointed Thee with the oil of gladness above Thy fellows. In prophecy, we're speaking about Christ. And we see that Jesus Christ hates sin, and God hates sin. And we'll be that way. We are to hate sin. To be like God, we're going to hate sin, but we're going to love the soul. God loves the soul of all of us. God loves the soul so much that He sent Jesus to die for us, for that soul. To pay the price for the sin committed by that soul. And 1 Corinthians 15 and 3 says, For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture. Of course, John 3:16, For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So God sent us here to save us. He sent His Son to save us from sin. 1 Peter 3:18, For Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. And we see that God hates sin so much, He would have sent His only begotten Son to die on that cross for our sins. And so we don't judge the man. We judge actions. We judge our sin in ourselves and in others. We judge the things that are right or wrong according to God's Word by His standard, by His teachings, by His Word. Hebrews 5 and 12 says this, For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principle, the oracles of God, and become such a need of milk, and not of strong men. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for it is a babe, but strong men belong to them that are of full age, even to those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So God wants us to be able to judge what's good and what's evil. He expects us to know the difference between those things. And so those are the things we're supposed to judge. We're supposed to judge the actions, the deeds that are done, but not the soul, not the man. Look at Ephesians 6 and verse 12. He says, For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, we make judgment on them things that are done and those deeds that are done and those principles that are taught, the principalities and ideas and concepts that are instructed. You see, we fight against those things in spiritual, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Well, where would be the high places that the head of spiritual wickedness would be in the churches, in the pulpits. The people who go out and speak and proclaim God's Word, they stand in a very high place. And we're to fight against spiritual wickedness in those places. And we have to judge what's right, what's wrong. He says, Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. See, we got to judge what is the truth, what's not. And have on the breastplate of righteousness, a breastplate of actions that are God's Word and righteousness. He says, And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fire darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of the salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And so we do judge in some ways. We're instructed by God to judge. And what we're judging is not the person, but the deeds that are being done. In 1 Corinthians 4 and 5, Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifestation the counsels of the heart. And then shall every man have praise to God. so we make judgments. We don't want to judge before the things that are done, before their time, before they need to be judged, before the end of time. That's when a man's judgment comes, when his life's over. That's when God will judge him. So we say we can't judge the person, but rather we judge the deeds, whether those deeds done are bad or good. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, I'd like you to turn over there. Last verse. We're not going to read the whole chapter, but that whole chapter is about a man that was committing fornication, and they put him outside the church. You know, when you think about it, did they judge him? Paul told them they were doing wrong because they were not approaching this matter, not doing it. They were just glorying about the fact they could accept him and everything was all right. You know, they didn't judge the man. No, they put him out. But God should judge him. God should judge him. They didn't judge the man. They didn't do it to condemn the man, but rather it was done to save the man, that he may repent, that he may be restored. And that's what we should do when we look at people. We want to look at them as to bring them to God, to deliver them to God if we can, to help God to reach them in some way with His Word, not to judge them nor condemn them, but deliver them unto God. And 1 Corinthians 5, verse 13, but them that are without God judges, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. They did, and he repented. But I want you to notice in chapter 6, there he's telling us to make judgments. In Galatians 6 and 1, he said, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, he which is spiritual, restore such a one in spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Notice the idea is to restore him. Not to condemn him, not to judge him, not to go and say, hey, you're lost and forever lost and you're no good and you're not going to ever be any better. No, the concept is to restore. We point out sin, we talk about sin, we talk about the action. But because we talk about those things doesn't mean we're judging the man's soul. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, he talks about us making judgments. There any of you having a matter against another, go to the law before the unjust and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints shall judge the world, and the world shall be judged by you? Are you unworthy to judge the smallest matter? Know you not that we shall judge angels? I want you to notice what he's talking about judging there. He's talking about us judging matters, deeds. That's what we judge. The actions that are done. And then he says, we're going to child, and that's in the future. He said, we're going to judge angels. How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgment of things pertaining to this life, set them to judge you at least esteemed in the church. I speak to your shame. It is so. Is it so that there is not a wise man among you? No, not one that shall be able to judge between his brethren. The brother goeth to law, and the brother that before the unbelievers. So we are admonished to God to make judgments, and we must make judgments, but we don't judge the man's soul. We're to judge the deeds, the actions, the things that are done. God judges the man in the end. He's the one that judges the matter in the end. Paul said about the Jews that they judged themselves unworthy of salvation, because they had put the Word of God out from them. And some people judge themselves, and they reject the Word of God. They reject the truth. They reject Jesus Christ and His righteousness. And they judge themselves unworthy of eternal salvation. This morning, I'd like for you to look upon your heart and your life and think about yourself. How are you judging in your life? He tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He tells us here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And the reason being is when we are judged, we can change. And we put off those things we see that are wrong in our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. He says in verse 28, and he's talking about the communion, but he's talking about here to examine ourselves. He says in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. So who does he examine? Is himself, not somebody else. Verse 31, it says, for we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. And so you see, we are to make judgments. Our judgments are to be not made before the time, and they're not to be made of things that are not supposed to judge, but we're to make judgments of deeds and actions, and whether or not they're right or whether or not they're wrong, both in our lives and those that we run in contact to around us. We have to be able to recognize sin as sin and to realize it's wrong and it can cost our souls. So Paul warns about those Jews who rejected his word, who rejected the words of Christ, who rejected Jesus Christ and his salvation. They judged themselves. He said, I'm worthy of salvation. What about us today? In Hebrews 5 and 9, it said, he being made perfect became the offer of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. Are you obeying Christ? You know, the beginning of a new life is to come to Jesus Christ, and you start over brand new with him. You rise to walk in innocent life. When you come to him and obey him in baptism, you start a new life. You're born again of that spirit, and you rise to walk in that new life. So if you're here today, I'd ask you, and you're not walking in that transformed life, you're not changing yourself to be more and more like Christ, if you've never began that transformation, we urge you to do that today. To come forward, make a confession of your faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, being buried with him in baptism, to rise and walk in a brand new life. Putting off those old man and the former things, and to put on a new man that's created in Christ Jesus in righteousness. A new man that's doing what God allows to do, living the way God would have to live. So if you're here this morning, you're subject to that gospel call, you get opportunity to live. Let me know as we stand safe.